It was a dark and stormy night. The rain fell in torrents, except at occasional intervals when it was checked by a violent gust of wind which swept up the streets, for it is in London that our scene lies, rattling along the housetops and fiercely agitating the scanty flame of the lamps that struggled against the darkness. I love that quote. It was a dark and stormy night. This is the infamous opening of a phrase written by a Victorian novelist, Edward Bulwer Lytton, the beginning of his 1830 novel called Paul Clifford, which I have never read except that opening paragraph. It seems to invoke something really, you know, you can just get into that moment. It was a dark and stormy night. You can feel that. Lytton's novel loves to tell the life of this Paul Clifford, a man who leads a dual life both as a criminal and an upscale gentleman. And this opening phrase has become an archetype for many, many mystery story and detective novels and all those sorts of things, and even a lot of movies that are out there. And in some ways, it could be the opening of our story from today's reading when we think about the beginning of time, when the world was being brought to life. And, you know, of course, there wouldn't have been a storm in the very beginning, but you can imagine that darkness and this sense of awe that was there. And maybe you can even imagine that when the kings came to see Jesus, you know, at night. And it was a dark and stormy night then, too. It was a dark and stormy night. The rain fell in torrents, except at occasional intervals, when it was checked by a violent gust of wind which swept up the streets. For it is in Bethlehem that our scene lies, rattling along the housetops and fiercely agitating the scanty flames of the lamps that struggled against the darkness. And then from here, as I said, we could pick up that story of the magi, the wise men, riding along in the darkness looking for the baby Jesus. The story of Jesus is a bit of a mystery, and that's what that whole reading from John is trying to evoke for us, that the Word was from the very beginning. Jesus was from the very beginning, before anything else existed in this darkness, if you like. The mystery. And it's a mystery that Paul references in his letter to Ephesians when he writes, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. And I want to talk about that mystery, which is linked directly to this word epiphany, the mystery that is Jesus. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Lord, we pray that you will open this up to us. This is the beginning of this new year, and help us to kind of first experience this idea of Jesus in our lives and the story of Jesus that we've heard time and time again. Holy Spirit, calm us. Let us be in this very moment. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's the first Sunday, as we've said a couple of times already, of this new year 2020. And I just said to Gord on the way in here, I remember when I was back at my school board days, one of the first programming assignments I had was to run calculations in 1982 for retirement projections up into the 2020s. And in 1982, 2020 was never going to happen. In fact, I was going to be, we're going to get in my Jetsons car and fly around, you know, and I don't have that yet. Although we are talking in our watches a little bit, kind of like Dick Tracy, I suppose. We hit one of the targets, I suppose. But 2020 is just that we're here all of a sudden. And as I'm, you know, a bit of a history buff when it comes to movies and whatnot, I was just reading last week because December 25th is Humphrey Bogart's birthday, and he would have been 120 this year. That just doesn't seem right to me. But as I'd mentioned just a few minutes ago, the 6th of January, when I was talking to the children, is a special day in the calendar of the church. Today's the 5th, tomorrow is the 6th, but we're kind of close enough to kind of think about and celebrate, if you like, the Epiphany. This is an old celebration within church history. It's not always necessarily given a great deal of attention because of the way it falls within the calendar itself, but it is a special day nonetheless for us to consider. Historically, it's a Christian feast or special day, holy day, that celebrates the revelation of God the Son to human being as a human being in Jesus Christ. And this day is noted by the visitation of the Magi or the wise men to the baby Jesus. And as I've tried to point out over our Christmas time, we have that sort of folklore issue where the shepherds and the wise men showed up on the same night. But we know historically there was a period of time. We don't know what that period of time was, but a period of time between those two events. And what this significance of this visit and trying to separate it out, the significance is, this is Jesus' first physical acknowledgement of who he was and is by the non-Jewish community, by people outside of Jesus' immediate family. So it's acknowledged that the world had acknowledged who Jesus was at this point. So the word epiphany comes from Greek, and it means appearance, as I said, or manifestation or revelation of something secret. And this appearance of Jesus to the world, therefore, they've attached that particular word to it. And it's an old celebration, as I said, in the church history. It starts maybe as far back as 361 A.D. And as I quickly mentioned to the children, if you count from Christmas to tomorrow, you're going to get 12 days, and that's where we get the whole idea of 12 days of Christmas and so forth and so on. And normally, you know, tomorrow would be the day when you take all the Christmas decorations down traditionally on that 12th day. Anyway, that's the history of this, and it's enough with that for the trivia about Epiphany. But you get some of the idea that this is a long-standing concept that they've tried to separate out for us to acknowledge this acknowledgement of this mystery of Jesus. And I want to look at this mystery of Jesus and the mystery around the story of him. We know that the wise men, the Magi, sought out Jesus, and their story is one surrounded by mystery as we read through that story, and I did that in the Gospel of Matthew. Herod wanted the wise men or the Magi to find the baby Jesus, the would-be king in his mind, in secret, and then to report back to him their findings in secret. And the story, again, has all the makings of that it was a dark and stormy night business, because it's a great sort of suspenseful mystery film, if you're going to put it that way. But the Magi, as we've read already a couple of times over the Christmas time, they were pretty much on top of what Herod was trying to do, and they ultimately did not report back to him after they found Jesus. And then to add to this mystery, if you like, they disappear. They disappear forever after they leave Bethlehem, never to be heard from or referenced again in the gospel story. They kind of show up. There's a brief encounter with Herod. They go and visit Jesus. They give their gifts, and then they ride off into the east and never to be heard from again. The mysterious story of the baby Jesus continues, as we read the next segment, I think last Sunday, of the Jesus, because Joseph gets visited by an angel in a dream, and he and Mary secretly head off to Egypt, again adding to the suspense story, if you like. And after Herod dies, and we read in that same chapter, Joseph is visited by yet another angel in a dream, and instead of heading back to Judea where they came from, he takes Mary and Jesus to Galilee, which is in the far north as opposed to down below the Dead Sea, to secretly avoid Herod's son and successor. Again, like I said, great makings for a novel. We could rewrite this and a movie of the week could be generated, I suppose. When we read the Gospel of Matthew, like those points I've referenced, those first couple of chapters, there's much mystery and suspense held within that opening story of Jesus' life. But that's not really the full mystery that Paul's referring to in that letter to Ephesians. Paul's not talking about mystery in the suspenseful meaning of the word. He's talking about the magic of the story of Jesus when he uses the word mystery. And when we say magic, it's something that astounds us. And I'm going to slide back to that word epiphany for a moment. And it's that mystery and that magic and that surprise that we as Christian believers often lose, because we've heard this story gazillions of times. And we've celebrated Christmas our whole life, and we've got all of that stuff around it. So it's, oh yeah, I heard that already. But there's something unique about this story that we need to always be trying to stay on top of. You know, when Paul's talking about this mystery of Christ in his letter to Ephesians, he uses that word mystery 7 times. Clearly, it's the mystery of the gospel that he uses most frequently, and that's the phrase that he wants to emphasize to everybody, and I think it's important for us. The mystery of the gospel, and gospel meaning good news, There's a secret, there's a mystery, there's some magic behind the good news, gospel of God in Jesus Christ. So we lose that sometimes because we forget what the real secret of the good news is. And if we think about some of his other letters, like to Timothy, Paul writes there, without any doubt, the mystery of our religion is great. Jesus was revealed in flesh, vindicated in spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the Gentiles, believed in throughout the world, and then taken up in glory. The Magi, the wise men, visited Jesus back in our Christmas story. They knew about this secret. They knew about this mystery. They knew about the magic that was involved there. And that's why they drove so far. And when I say drove, I mean drove themselves, pushed themselves. They rode on caravan. But they drove themselves so hard to find him and seek him out and meet him. If we read in Corinthians, it says this, "For Jews demanded signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength." But I really want to emphasize that particular reading and not just blurt through it. Because we have both of those elements alive in our world today. There are people that want proof. I want proof. That's a sign that he uses when he says Jews demand signs. And if it's not going to be proof, I need logic. And that's the Greek desire for wisdom. You prove it to me, you logically show it, and I'll believe it. And Paul says, you know what? That's why Jesus has done the way this whole mystery is about. That's why it's foolishness to them and stupid to everybody else. Because there's a mystery locked inside here. And if you need it proven or logically shown, you're missing the point. There's a secret, a mystery that's here. The mystery of the gospel that Paul's talking about in Ephesians, and he puts in Corinthians, that foolishness, because they can't figure it out. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't add up. It doesn't figure. And that's the whole point of the thing. That's why there's a mystery and a wonder associated with it. I like this one particular musical artist, Noel Paul Stuckey. He's Paul of Peter, Paul, and Mary. And Christian man, been a Christian for many years. And one of the songs he wrote himself is called Miracles. And this excerpt, I just want to read this brief bit of lyric to you. "The wounded warrior turned his head on the ground where he had fallen, to feel the cool dirt on his cheek and hear the young girl calling, 'My God,' he cried, 'I cannot see.' The girl ran from the forest. Better it would have been to die than to live a life in darkness," is what he said. "And the tears of the young girl cried over her fallen lover. They cleansed his eyes that they may heal. And so he did recover. Isn't this the way God works his miracles? A blinded soldier given back his sight." Here's the part in the lines, in the lyric. "Now a scientist may tell you how night turns into day, but he can never take the wonder away." He can never take the wonder away. How many times have people wanted to go up to the cottage and watch the sunrise? Yeah, you know what? I can explain that, you know? There's going around the sun, it's rotating, there's all logic about it, here's the proof. But boy, when you see that sunrise over a lake, hear the loons, man, oh man, there's a wonder built into that. When we read the gospel account of Jesus' life, his birth, his death, his resurrection, sunrise, same sense needs to be there. And we lose it. And it's easy to do. I was out west at General Assembly a few years ago, and Donna has some cousins that live out there. And I went out to see her one cousin, and don't ask me where they are, but they live near, as everybody does, near the mountains. And they live on this beautiful, like, field, and it's a forest, and the background are these beautiful cascading mountains. And I said, you know what? You get tired of that. You get tired of living here your whole life. Every morning when you get up, more mountains. No, she said, I don't. When the sun comes over that mountain every morning, I think, wow. That's that sense of awe. That's that sense of wow, newness, that we need when we read Jesus' account. The Word was made flesh. Before there was anything, there was the Word. And Jesus was born, He lived, He taught, He suffered, He died, and He rose again. Sunrise. Wow. It's easy to, in the midst of life, to lose all of that. It's easy to forget, especially post-Christmas when we're kind of going, oh, it's over. But it's not over. It's always new. It's always beginning. There's a mystery, and it's the epiphany that we need to think about. Epiphany is that wow moment. And my prayer for us in this coming year, I heard somebody say 2020 is kind of like human eyesight. We want to have 2020 vision. I don't know, it's been overused already on the internet. But anyway, we want to have that vision of Jesus to give us that wow moment, that the mystery of His life, that secret revealed, can really burn new within all of us. And that's the gospel presentation. And we're doing that in so many ways in what, the things that we do and live. But we need to keep it kindled and not let that flame go out. It was a dark and stormy night, and the rain fell in torrents, except at occasional intervals when it was checked by a violent gust of wind which swept up the streets. For it is in our hearts that our scene lies, rattling along the housetops, fiercely agitating the scanty flames of the lights that struggled against the darkness. The mystery of Jesus, I wish upon all of us as a blessing this day and this year. Amen. This is the time when we come before God to respond in so many ways, and we present our tithes and our offerings before the Lord. Thanks be to God.